Thank you. As usual, we're joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And we welcome back our friend, the politics economics reporter from WPRI.com, Ted Nesi. Thanks for joining us, Ted.
Always glad to be here, Ian.
Rhode Island voters will decide 26 legislative primaries when they go to the polls next Tuesday. During Political Roundtable, we'll focus on some of the top General Assembly primaries in Providence and Cranston. Most of these primaries involve Democrats, but there's a very high profile one in Cranston featuring Republicans Stephen Frias and Shauna Lawton. As we know, this will feature a very small voting pool, perhaps maybe only 200 or 300 voters. How do you see this race, Ted?
Well, I think, you know, it's still a surprise to a lot of us that this race exists, right? We thought Steve probably had a clear path, the GOP chairman's behind him and all, but it appears to be a proxy fight between Patricia Morgan and the Mike Chippendale, Brian Newbery forces over who should be the GOP leader. It is such a tiny electorate we're expecting there, Ian. I hesitate to guess who's going to win, though. It'll be a big upset if Steve Frias loses. I mean, he's got the support of the party. He should win. But when it's that few voters, Shauna Lawton doesn't have to do too much to get a lot of people there.
Scott, you think Shauna Lawton could pull an upset here?
It would depend all on turnout. As Ted said, with a low, low, low turnout election, the one thing she has going for her is some grassroots groups that she's aligned with, such as the anti-HPV vaccine people. They're one-issue voters, only needs a couple of hundred of them if they're there. But I think Ted hits the nail pretty much on the head. This is the Fung forces versus the Patricia Morgan forces, and it's almost unbelievable in a state that really has such a parlous Republican Party that they're actually fighting a primary over a seat that, by the way, is going to be a big challenge to win come November.
Let's turn our attention to Providence, where longtime Rep. Anastasia Williams from the South Side faces a challenge from Michael Gazdacco. He works for the developer Urban Smart Growth, and Rep. Williams has accumulated some baggage in her 24 years in office. She also represents a district that's mostly Black and Latino. How do you see the outlook, Scott?
I think she's going to be tough to beat, although I will say the recent publicity that she's garnered has not been good for her.
Yeah, and I think Scott's right. I think Rep. Williams, you know, if in the wrong district, she'd have a big problem. But I think she maintains she has strong support among the people in her community and that she's going to be fine. I think it's one where if she lost, in retrospect, we would know why. But I think right now most people still keeping their money on her.
Another high profile race in Providence involves House Majority Leader John DeSimone. He faces a challenge from fellow Democrat Marcia Ranglin-Vassell. My take on this is that a lot of these challengers get into the race very late in the game. Ranglin-Vassell is articulate. She's bright, but she only announced a couple of months ago. It seems like it's not really enough time to build up her recognition and following, particularly against an incumbent like DeSimone, who's been in office for more than 20 years. What do you say, Ted?
I tend to agree, and I think you profiled that race. We had a debate with them on Newsmakers on Channel 12, and I think maybe originally some of us reporters wondered if John DeSimone was one of those classic examples of someone who'd been in so long he's lost touch with his district. It doesn't seem that way. He's still pretty, he can rattle off the names of people on individual streets and all that. And so, you know, if he's maintained those ties, he should be able, especially with all the money and institutional forces aligned with him as the incumbent, he should have no trouble seeing her off. But she is working hard.
Scott, as we know, back in 2004, John DeSimone challenged then Speaker William Murphy for the speakership. And some of the old guard representatives like him might still want to see him as speaker one day. But that might be a fleeting possibility with Speaker Mattiello hanging in there.
Well, first of all, he's got to win his race. And I will say that Ranglin-Vassell has mounted a pretty good campaign, as Ted mentioned. However, it seems to me that Johnny DeSimone has awakened in the last few weeks. He's outworking it. He knows people on the street when Ted says he can go down the street. That district hasn't changed as much demographically as the rest of Providence. And, of course, there's his old nickname, Johnny Jobs DeSimone. He's put a lot of people on the public payroll.
Let's cross over to the state Senate, where we see a clash between old and new for the seat held by Senator Frank Chacon from Providence. He's being challenged for the second consecutive cycle by Doris De Los Santos, obviously a Latina in a changing district. How do you see the outlook, Scott?
Well, you know, one of these years, somebody from the old Italian Ward 7 Igliozzi Silver Lake machine is going to lose. That district is trending increasingly to Spanish-speaking voters. Is this the year?
That's the question. And I think that's what we're all wondering. Is, you know, Doris de los Santos went against Chacon before she lost. You have to give Senator Chacon credit for understanding that his district is changing. There's a reason we always see him out front on, for example, driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, a big issue in his community. But Doris de los Santos, certainly she has experience, and that could make a difference. We'll have. That's what I'm keeping an eye on.
Two other Senate races of note. Longtime senator from Providence, Juan Pichardo, faces what is seen as a tough challenge from Ana Quezada, and longtime Providence Senator Harold Metz faces a challenger, Jonathan Hernandez. Your thoughts on those races, Ted?
Well, you know, I often defer to my colleague Dan McGowan on all things Providence. I know he's keeping a close eye on this Pichardo race. It was not lost on him when Mayor Lorza declined to endorse Juan Pichardo, even though he's his head of the licensing board, even as Lorza was endorsing DeSimone. So there's certainly a lot of buzz around that race, but also, as you often see with these, I think Juan Pichardo knows he needs to work hard, and it does sound like he's putting some energy into it.
Well, this is all politics is local. Apparently, on the licensing board, Pichardo got on the wrong side of a tavern frittata in the neighborhood, and so that may hurt him. But I do think he's going to work hard. He's one of those kind of people. I would find it difficult for Harold Metz to lose. That district is...
I agree.
Fairly well gerrymandered for him.
Yes, and he's well-liked and well-known in that district. Lastly, one race back in the House of Representatives. This is for the seat being vacated by John Carnevale. Of course, WPRI suggested initially how Carnevale was living outside his district, and he ultimately decided not to seek re-election. The contestants are Ramon Perez, Lisa Scorpio, and Anthony DeFilippo, who, the last of whom does not seem like a particularly serious challenger. My thought on this is less significant here who wins is the absence created by Carnevale and how that impacts the factions in the House. Your thoughts, Scott?
Well, it's hard to really say. I expect that the current House leadership is going to keep what it has. And I think that probably Lisa Scorpio should be the winner in this one. However, you know, these are primaries, low turnout, you never know.
And Speaker Mattiello is backing Ramon Perez.
That's it. We'll disagree a little, Scott. And, you know, it's always hard to say in these races. I have been thinking Perez might have the edge. He has the support of not only Speaker Mattiello, I believe Senator Chacon, Councilman Igliozzi, the folks up there. It seems also like a bit of a left-right divide there where Perez is with Right to Life, Scorpio's with Planned Parenthood. I think Scorpio has the Progressive Democrats and some of the environmental groups. But all politics the local, as Scott says, and who knows what people are thinking about in that race.
And interestingly, Ramon Perez, a Democrat, his campaign is being managed by longtime Republican Providence activist David Talon.
Who says bipartisanship is dead, Ian?
That's right. And on that note, our time is up. Scott, Ted, and I will talk about the top legislative primaries outside Providence in our bonus Q&A segment. If you miss the broadcast, you can listen to bonus Q&A and this one on our website at ripr.org. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you, Ian.
And from WPRI.com, Ted Nesi.
Thanks so much, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.